Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Sheila Applegate. She is a gifted spiritual teacher, a very high level intuitive and clairvoyant who can describe, guides people and situations with great detail and accuracy. And she is able to clearly see the guides, angels and ascended masters of her clients and facilitates communication between them in order to provide information about one's spiritual progress, the relationships and other practical everyday issues from a higher perspective. And it is common for divine beings such as Isis, Mother Mary, Mary of Magdalene and Hiawatha to use her as a vessel. Welcome to the program, Sheila.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Good. Now, I know you've only recently got back from a trip to Glastonbury in England. How did it work out for you?
It was a wonderful experience. It was actually my first time in Glastonbury, and there was so much beautiful energy there, especially around Magdalene. I was able to channel her right in the center of Glastonbury for the people, and it was just a beautiful experience to connect on that land.
And what did you manage to get down to the Chalice Well?
I did. I taught a workshop right in the Chalice Well Gardens. Beautiful,
right.
Powerful, vibrant.
Exactly. It's some years since I last went there, but I found immediately around the Chalice Well, there was such a beautiful peace and lovely energy. I hadn't really experienced that anywhere else. It's a wonderful place. Right. I'd like you to tell us a little bit about some of the early days so that our listeners can get a background to what sort of led you to where you are. I gather initially, when you were quite young, you had this feeling of wanting to find yourself. So tell us about this search that you had and how you were looking, as I think you called it, your personal truth.
Mm-hmm. I think that I have always been on a sort of journey of finding that and being able to see truth in others. I was raised in a traditional Lutheran home, so the work that I do now, or the way in which I communicate with the Creator God now, is different than I was taught as a child. And yet there was something inside of me always driving me forward to find the truth in everything. And my mother jokes with me, and has since I was a child, that I, as a very young child, would debate with my minister, who other people were a little intimidated by. But it was so important to me to really question and sort out the truth and find that within the religions and then, of course, within myself. I carried on after high school into social work and became a therapist, which was a wonderful experience of helping people find themselves. At the same time, I was continuing my personal journey with spirit and sort of negotiating my way through what was religion and what was spirituality and what resonated as true to me and what resonated as perhaps man or human invoked around the issues. And so after graduating from social work program, I attended a metaphysical Christian church, and at that time I learned to do guided meditation. And that was sort of the gateway that opened me, and I realized just how easily I could communicate with my own spirit guides. And as I learned that, I was able to then take that same technique and communicate with others. And my passion is not only to assist others by being that interpreter or vessel for which spirit comes through to them, but also to really empower every individual to realize that this is not a great mystery, that it is normal to see, sense, or feel, and to receive intuition and guidance, and that each one of us can do that. It doesn't take just the chosen few, but that in our truth, when we're centered and when we're open, we all have those experiences.
Right. Now, are you talking back about the period around 1992 or during the 90s, which I believe is when all this happened to you?
You know what? It's interesting because this isn't a story I normally tell, but I think the connection to England at the moment is bringing that to the surface for me. I was actually a student in with a Syracuse University program in London when the Lockerbie tragedy occurred. And wow. I had stayed in England to have Christmas with some of my friends who are from East Grinstead. So I was not on that plane. But that, of course, was a big awakening for me in realizing that there was something more and soul-searching of why so many of my friends had been lost so suddenly in such a tragic death. I went to a memorial service for one of the girls that was on the plane, and as I was staying in her home with her parents, who I had just met, she came to me. That was probably one of my first experiences with really having someone from the other side appear to me and begin to talk. So it's interesting because I don't usually think of that story, but that actually was one of those times when I realized, yes, I do communicate with the other side. And that was in the 90s, of course.
Right. Well, that is an unusual story, to say the least. When you said your friend appeared to you, was there any communication with her, or was it purely an appearance?
She did communicate. I'm trying to remember back to that moment because there's been so many more since, but it is vivid since it was one of the first. I was actually asleep in her home, or falling asleep, and she appeared in front of the bed, and I could see her with, it was sort of iridescent or transparent, but my eyes were open. And she did speak to me. I believe at that point it was just one line of comfort for her family, which were also very open to her presence and welcoming of her and continuing with their love of her from the other side. They're beautiful, beautiful people.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, using your knowledge that you have acquired and your skills, what is your main goal now in the work you do?
I have two goals, and of course they weave together. Because I truly believe that God, by any name, God, Creator, all that is, the oneness, it's divine love. And it is the energy, the source that we all consist of. And in our truest form, we will flow in that direction. So I'm very passionate about exploring emotions and especially love and helping people to really understand their relationships, their partnerships, and their ability to love beyond limit. And that begins with loving yourself. So, of course, as I work with Magdalene more and more, this is the message that she is trying to get to the world at this point, the sort of missing component. Not that we don't believe that Jesus was teaching love, but we did sort of extract from that story the feminine side of that, and some of the lessons that went along with that over the years. So bringing that back into harmony of the male and female and love in all forms is very much a passion of mine. The second passion that sort of weaves together as I move forward in the world sharing this message is really normalizing spirituality and normalizing the process of remembering beyond the veil.
I'll repeat this, the question that I was going to ask you. I was mentioning about the time when you were in Glastonbury and you made a recording of the message that you received from Magdalene. Now, tell our listeners what happened in respect to that when you went back home.
Well, when I left for Glastonbury, and that was my first time actually working in the UK, I do go back often, but that was my first time working there, and they had said this was going to be a gateway. Magdalene was very excited about what was going to happen with the message of Glastonbury. And so I spoke with many people. It was a full house, and it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. But as I was coming home, I wasn't sure how that was completely the gateway. Not too long after I got home, she proposed a challenge to me, and that she wanted me to post the recording, which I had actually done nonchalantly. At the last minute, I simply placed the recorder down next to my daughter and flipped it on. So it was certainly not a professional recording, but she asked me to post that on the internet and to help get her message out as sort of that being an introduction to her readiness to speak now. She has not with me, though I know she's worked with other people to get the message of her history out. With me, it has been more of the message of love that she is ready to relay to the world right now. And so she gave me the challenge of putting the message out to the public and asking people if it resonates with them. And it is all about emotions and love and embracing the full spectrum of emotions here on Earth. And she asked me to put that out to the public, which it is now on my website, and I believe it's in the Glastonbury archives as well, and other people are posting it. But she made the challenge that 10,000 people would listen to it within the year. And so my task was just to put it out there and trust that the message itself will carry it forward. So everyone is welcome to visit my website and listen to that message of love. And another beautiful thing that occurred with it, that when I listened back to it, is that the church bells were ringing in the background in Glastonbury when I did that recording. So it was interesting because shortly before the evening that I was speaking and channeling for them, someone had told me that they practice the bells, or they do the bells on Thursday evening. And I sort of looked at them thinking, okay, I'm right around the corner channeling at the exact same time. Why would Spirit choose that? But it ended up being so beautiful to have this in the background, and now the vibration of that love from Glastonbury is going out across the world, and it just is so beautiful. And I actually was gifted the movie The Mists of Avalon and just watched that last week and was taken to hear that those same bells go throughout that movie. So it's a really profound experience, even just to have that vibration on top of the message that they bring forth.
How about Sheila?
Yes.
I was just thinking about what you said. On your website, do you have a counter so that you know how many people are visiting your site and get some idea of
how
it's going?
You know what? I do now. I didn't have a counter when I started, and I kind of left that into Magdalene, like, well, how are we going to know? And there is a counter because it is actually posted through a Podbean podcast. That does have a counter on it. I don't think it's completely accurate because it doesn't seem to catch all the different avenues that people are listening for it, and I actually have not looked at it. In the first few days, hundreds had listened, and I became a little bit obsessed with it, and I became a little bit feeling responsible, like, how am I going to get this out to the people? And so I sort of had to regroup, and they said, you know what, it's out there. You've done your part, and now you just have to let it see what happens. So I actually have not checked in recently to see what the numbers are at.
I feel certain that if she has set you that target, it's obviously achievable. I don't think she would frighten you with a very extreme one. Yeah, I'm sure.
And I don't think
there.
She meant for me to get too hung up on how and how many, but I am human, So I have to check myself on that.
Yes, indeed. Now, in one part of your the information you give out, you mention Isis in connection to Mary.
Yeah.
Did you mean by that they are one and the same soul, or what is the link there?
Well, I suppose technically, yes, in the fact that we are all one. And so we're all an aspect, and especially the two of them who both represent and hold the vibration of the Omega, or the goddess, the female side of our oneness. In that sense, yes, they would be one. My interpretation, or the way that they have shown that to me, and because of the very specific work that I do, to be honest, they're very careful about what I'm allowed to read to influence me. So a lot of my knowledge comes directly from source and then is confirmed later. But the way I perceive it, the way that they have shown it to me, is that Isis is more of a spirit guide that assisted Magdalene during that time. So they do work together as one, and they are the vibration of that same Omega energy. However, in the dynamics of our personal understanding, it would look like Magdalene on Earth and Isis more in a spirit form during that time. But the teachings of that Isis, the order of Isis, having been passed down through the ages also to her.
Right. Now, you tell us that you can clearly see guides, angels, and ascended masters. When you see them, do you really see any difference between them in the sense, do some of them, are some of them sort of a brighter light than others, or are they very much the same to look at?
Well, certainly, yes. Yes, there are some variations. Ascended masters, I would consider, such as Yezu and Magdalene, Isis, those beings who had been on Earth, and certainly the peacemaker, Buddha, other religions, and even more and more people are ascending now, so that those numbers are getting bigger and bigger. But ascended masters would be beings who were on Earth, went through the human experience, woke up from the illusion, and ascended, and are now teaching and assisting. They have very similar vibrations to each other, although they do still carry some personality with them. They all have their various personalities when they communicate, but their vibration is probably very similar to each other's. Angelic realm is another realm that I would consider in the spirit guides, and all religions have a name for them, but that would, in their truest form, their lighter color, they come in various forms. They seem to have an evolution of their own going, so some of the angels or spirit guides in that form are more bright than others. Some have specific things that they help with, and some are more universal in how they help. So there's a lot of variation with that realm, as much as you would see pretty much with a human realm, although we stay up in the higher vibrations there. Then with the loved ones who've crossed over, that's the full spectrum, because you can have someone all the way from ascended master to someone who is in between and lost and confused, just like we have here. So they vary just as much as the humans on Earth vary.
Right. Now, you mentioned religions there, and I wanted to ask you a question in respect of your comment that you say we would come to realize that in their purest forms, all religions teach the same basic spiritual truths. What do you believe that is?
In its core, I think it's helping us find our way back to remembering that we're one and that love is all there is in truth. But, of course, we have so many added things on top of that, that just as humans evolving, we were trying to sort through and understand and grow. So when we sort through all of the various religions, in their core, I truly believe that there is a message of love, of oneness, and of helping souls to remember that connectedness to all that is. But there's a lot of extras there. And it's not wrong, because we all need different levels of understanding to get to that awakening. So if it helps, then I certainly encourage any religious practice. One of the things that I see in pretty much all religions too, however, is the fear and the illusion of separateness. So I think that no matter what path we take, our true goal is sorting out what is fear and illusion and what is love and oneness.
Yes, I agree entirely with you. Now, you talk of creating unique healing experiences for your clients, which are grounded in unconditional love. What do you actually mean by that? What type of healing experiences do you refer to?
Well, I am a Reiki master, which is a tradition in which universal life energy flows through me. Mm-hmm. I also have some other training and experience, but in truth, divine love, like we just said, is all that is. And when we are, as humans, when we are given the opportunity to sit in a space of that love and to allow ourselves to move back into alignment with our mind, our body, and our spirit, in our natural form, we will heal ourselves. And we are perfect in our natural form. We are a perfect reflection of God. So I am pretty much just opening the space in order for that love to flow through and to provide that opportunity for the person to choose health and perfection in their form. So that can be physically, emotionally, and or spiritually. My belief is that by the time we are reflecting a dis-ease with a hyphen, is that means we're out of alignment. So by the time we're reflecting something in the physical that is out of alignment, it has already come in through our spiritual and emotional bodies. So by directing the love in through the vessel, it allows all three of those to get into alignment and to clear out from the original source what the discord is. And then the body can reflect that.
Yes, fine. Now, having mentioned that you have these various beings that come to you or speak through you or work through you, why do you think there are a number of them, say, as opposed to one single being? Has that got something to do with the spiritual level of your clients?
Opposed to one being working with me?
Yes, I mean, why different ones? I'm just thinking that you could have
one when I do being. Individual work with people, I am opening up to their spirit guides. And so I'm seeing and hearing who is working with them and helping them to communicate more, to understand their own life patterns, to clear away and to open to opportunities to grow. Then when I'm working in a class and teaching, sometimes a specific ascended master has chosen to work with me and to teach through me. And sometimes I'm opening that up for whoever is wanting to speak on that topic. Because it's really knowing the passageway to that realm there, and the pure, and certainly I've done my own personal work and dedication to becoming that vessel for them, which means being extremely diligent in my own awakening and my own awareness and my own remembrance of oneness. And so the more that I reunite with remembering that I am one, the more I live in that space of oneness, I can access all of that and then share it with others. So in the truest form, again, what we're accessing is divine love, God, creator, a space of enchanted oneness. But in order for us to understand that as humans, we almost need to take drops of that golden loving energy and reduce it down so that we can communicate and conceive of it. So the guides come, even though they're in that oneness, it's like an expansion or a separating of that vibration enough so that we can see it and communicate it with it and understand it on our journey. When there was a time in my life when I was actually going through an illness, and at the same time I was kind of wrapping myself around the idea that, you know, really there's only one source, and so the guides don't really exist. And I was catching on to that idea of oneness and the fact that beyond any of these storylines, we're all one. And at that moment, I wasn't seeing the guides. I was trying to reach to the source of oneness. And all of a sudden, I just realized one day, I want my guides around me. I need you. I need you for support. I need you in that form. And so if I am co-creating and this is all one, this is the form I choose for support right now, and my guides returned immediately to me. So it is dependent on where we are in our evolution and how we will understand and how spirit can get the message to us.
Right. Now, you seem absolutely confident that anyone literally can connect directly with their own guides and spiritual teachers. So when they come to you without any knowledge of how to do it, how do you sort of start them off? What is the track here that would lead them to achieve that goal?
Again, the technique that really opened the door for me, and everybody needs to find their own path to it. Some will resonate with the way I teach, and some will find a different teacher if that resonates more with them. But the path that really worked for me was the guided meditation, and I teach that in all of my classes. And I do have some podcasts of those on my website as well, so people can explore some of what that experience is. But I do what is called a garden meditation, and I lead people. And I tell people to let go of their perceptions of what it is to see and hear spirit, that sort of sense that it's some big mystery and some huge deal that only happens to a few once in a while. And just let themselves go. And as I lead them through the meditation, I say to just listen to it as if you were a child listening to a bedtime story. Or even if you're reading a novel, those characters come alive in your mind. And people say, how do I know if it's my imagination or the truth of spirit? And my answer to that is, don't worry about that, especially in the beginning. Because imagination is the springboard to truth. That's why children learn through imagination. That's why children are so natural in their understanding of spirit. And we call them imaginary friends, and we tell them, oh, you can't believe in that. And then they learn not to. But in their truest form, children just naturally allow those experiences to occur, which is why I believe Jesus said in his various forms that people have quoted, but the children hold the key to the kingdom of heaven, because they understand the simplicity, the love, and the imagination as that springboard to allowing it to be. So with time, if you just let yourself surrender into it, your guides and spirit will prove itself. And I have a couple examples of that. When I was first learning to do the meditation technique, I went ahead of my teacher in the garden, and I came upon my guardian angel. She taught it as guardian angels. And this beautiful light was zipping up this angel outfit. And she looked at me and she said, look at what you make me put on, because I needed her in the form of an angel at that time. And that was just something that I knew my mind had not perceived of. And more things begin to prove themselves when you live in that space. And also just playing with them in your daily wake state. When I was a child, my mom had been at church one night, and she came home with this miracle story she was sharing. Now, this was at my time of teenage years, debating if I even believed in God, you know, that uncertainty, yeah. The questioning. And she said she had been in the church late at night by herself, and she was carrying a whole bunch of things, and she needed the door open, and there was no one there to help her, and her hands were full, and she said a prayer, and the door opened. And I just sort of rolled my eyes at the time, and I thought, right, you know, I'm not even sure I believe in God, and if there is a God, I really don't think he cared whether that door was open for my mom in that moment. But what I've come to learn, and how symbolic is an open door anyway, but what I've come to learn is that the spirit guides love to play with those little miracles, because until you have opened your mind to accept little miracles, as we call them, miracles, as natural, they can't bring in the larger miracles, the larger awakening, the larger experiences that they want to. So I encourage people to learn to communicate with their guides by playing. You know, ask them for a parking spot when you're going to a crowded arena or wherever you're going, and then watch and listen and see if you got the inclination to turn one way, if you got a visual of where it may be, if you followed or if you didn't follow, and how the outcome came. Or when they ask you, you know, when you can't find your keys, you know, ask them, and then follow what you see. And that's a way for you to start to learn that communication, is you need to establish and build a language in order to go to them with bigger issues. And sometimes it feels like it's something that just seems so crazy to follow, and you have to listen to yourself. You know, are you going to give it a try? Again, at that period of time when I was ill, and at that time my son was 2 years old, and there were people that had come to take him. I had just had an operation, and I was lying on the couch trying to rest, and they were going to take him away, you know, take the kids out so that I could rest. For some reason, he only had one pair of shoes at the time, and the house was filled with these people looking for the shoe. They could not find his shoe, so they could not take the kids, so I could not get my rest. And I was laying on the couch, and eventually I was just so exhausted, I said, okay, God, you know, angels, where is this shoe? We have to take care of this. And I got this image of the shoe halfway down in the dirty laundry. And I thought, well, that's ridiculous, you know, but at that point I knew to go check. So I got up and I dug through the laundry, and there's the shoe. And then my little 2-year-old going, oh, yeah, I remember putting it there. So when those things happen, then we get that affirmation, and then we feel like we can trust in a little bit more, until it becomes a natural state. A friend said to me the other day, I wish I could believe like you. And I said, it's not a matter of believing for me. I see, hear, feel. This is as real to me as what you consider real in the physical world. I don't have to have a leap of faith, because it proves itself to me every day.
Yes. Well, that's a lovely story, and it's funny that you should mention about parking, because until I retired, I was a sales rep, and at one time I worked in part of central London, which is an extremely busy place and very hard to find parking places. And one part of London, it comprises of quite a number of squares, so you find yourself continually going around and around this square looking for a parking place. And when it got a bit difficult, I used to put a thought out to my angel and say, please find me a parking space. And believe it or not, often by the time I went round that square the second time, I almost saw somebody reaching for their pocket to get their keys out, and I thought, oh boy, you found one. So I can vouch for that. It does work. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite.
Yes, indeed.
And if I lived in London, it would really be one of my favorite.
Oh, you'd need it, yes. Now, you say that through healing ourselves and connecting with our inner guidance, we come to realize the higher destiny. Now, what do you see the higher destiny as being?
For individuals or as a whole?
Individuals, yes. Individuals.
Individuals. Well, I think our ultimate goal is to remember our oneness and to remember that we were never abandoned by God, whatever name we use, that we are not just human beings, but we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and that this earth is a playground for us to explore emotions and experience love in every emotion, experience love in every situation. Remember that everything, even those things that seem so opposing of love, are actually love, because God is all there is. Love is all there is. There is nothing more.
Well, do you think the destiny of the human race or all of us is different, or is it the same?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question.
Yeah. You're talking about the destiny of individuals. I just wondered if you see it any differently, looking at us as a whole, a sort of whole human race. Do you think?
Well, I guess I see an expansion of that, because as more individuals wake up and remember this, then as a human race, remembering that we're one, we become one also with each other and with our Mother Earth. So this is where we get, it gets a little bit difficult to explain, because I'm trying to explain it from a human perspective. But what I see is that we raise our vibrations as individuals, and therefore as a race, and therefore as Mother Earth, we raise this vibration back till it's in complete resonation with the oneness, and then there is no veil, there is no separation. Heaven and Earth are one, and we're vibrating at that level at all times. But that's a process, obviously. We're just starting the completion of that. And I see beautiful things happening.
Yes. I get the impression from some of the comments you've made that you possibly believe, like a lot of people do, that we're shortly reaching a time when ascension is possible. Is that your belief?
Absolutely. I believe, and I believe more and more people are ascending. I believe that at one time, you know, we have the stories of the few that went ahead and they ascended, and then they helped to guide us from the other side. But more and more beings that I am seeing are waking up and ascending. And there's even a phenomenon now that beings are ascending and staying on Earth in order to shift that vibration on Earth and to continue teaching while choosing the human form, even though they don't need it for their own personal development. And then again, I am seeing that more and more of the ascended beings are returning to Earth, not based in the karmic idea, the karmic cycle, or needing to wake up and remember, but simply to serve. And in that space, yes, even Mother Earth then becomes vibrating at a higher and higher level. So there is a completion of that, which I don't see as the world being destroyed, but actually that it actually vibrates to the place where it doesn't exist as we know it now.
Right. And do you believe, on the same subject, that 2012 is a key date in this ascension?
How did I know that was the next question? The way that I see 2012 is a couple of things. First of all, it's a time that we have chosen. So we begin to put energy towards it, and more people are putting energy towards it. It's already happening. It's already happening. The Stargate is already opening. People are starting to remember. Ascended Masters are walking among us, and we are moving towards that remembrance more and more. And even the conflict and the fear that's rising up, to me, is just confirmation that we are evolving and that Earth is evolving. Because if you've been on your own personal journey, you know that when you bring more truth and more light in, you do have to purge out the energies that no longer serve you, that you had suppressed. And I see that happening on our Earth right now. I believe that the key to the Stargate that some people are not remembering, and the Stargate is that opening between the two, the veil between the worlds, is the heart. It is love. And we can go about it. I don't see it as a spaceship. We can try as much as we want with technology, but the true passageway is through love. And to me, 2012 is the tipping point. 2012 is going to be when the energies tip, when enough people have awakened that the mass consciousness really begins to see and work together towards this completion, this ascension.
Yes, I believe likewise, and indeed a lot of people do at this time. It's not at all unusual to find a lot of agreement on that subject. Now, I'd like to come back to Magdalene just for a moment. You said that you had the experience that this soul, speaking of Magdalene, was part of you. Tell our listeners what happened when you had the experience when Magdalene put her hand on your heart.
Mm-hmm. So the first, you're meaning the first time that she consciously came to me?
Well, I didn't know there was more than
she puts her hand on my heart a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's what you mean. I suppose 16 years ago or so, I was in my own path, my own evolution. I had already started meditating and working with guides, and I think even starting to help other people with that. But I was involved in a twin flame relationship, which is the twin flame is your other half, basically your one soul as one on Earth. And so I was on this journey with this person that I was experiencing the twin flame lessons, which is really that remembering back to full love, full oneness, wholeness, and God. And I was in my living room laying on the couch, and Magdalene appeared to me. I was not in a meditation, so it was very notable. And she told me at the time that she and Yezu, her beloved, were twin flames. I've come to understand that they were a variation of that, but that was later years. At that time, that is what I understood, and that is what I needed. And she explained to me, she put her hands on my heart at that time, and she told me that she understood and that she would be walking with me as a personal guide over the next few years, and that my journey would be difficult, but that she would be there with me. And her hands on my heart were so filled with love that I, of course, received that with gratitude and just felt so completely safe to have her with me. I didn't think about it at the time, what she meant about the difficult journey or that we would journey closely together. But as it unfolded, and she did walk with me, and she helped me to understand the twin flame and to teach that to others and to share that love and to learn unconditional love in myself. And as the years went by, it turned out that my divine plan was very much like hers, and that I would be preparing my beloved twin flame to work from the other side. And so 3 years ago, he was in the physical world. He was actually killed by a drunk driver, but we had known that it was coming, and Magdalene and Isis both walked me through that preparation as we reached that time, so that he was able to just move gently into the spirit world.
Right. Now, you said that when Magdalene put her hands on your heart, you were filled with unconditional love. Is it possible to explain what that feels like?
Bliss? I'm not sure. It's so pure and so complete oneness that the fears, the doubts, the limitations just melt away. And It is just a feeling of complete acceptance, complete knowing, and complete surrender. I suppose a state of grace.
Mm. I think that you've covered that very well, because only once have I experienced something like that, and it was on one of the rare occasions that I remember being out of the body and upstairs somewhere, and a high being was showing me some aspects of a previous life. But in the presence of that being, I just felt what you've referred to as unconditional love. And I think out of all those words you've used, I think I would pick out acceptance as one of the key ones. Mm. But I know you can hardly find the words to express such a fantastic
feeling.
Right,
if we truly all knew what pure acceptance feels like, that would be great. But I think so many of us don't. So so a whole bunch of words to try to explain something so simple.
Yeah. Something else you mentioned in the course of that conversation there was about the twin flame. Now, I know you've also spoken about the soul mate in your writings. How would you know in your relationships on earth, whether it's friends, partner, or marriage, if that person with you was, say, for example, your soul mate? Is there any way of knowing?
Well, for me, we have a lot of soulmates. So pretty much anyone that enters into our life really is a soulmate. Anyone who has contracted with us, in a sense, to learn specific lessons. And that can take a form of someone we know for a day or a few minutes or a lifetime. So soulmate to me has multiple meaning, and certainly we are all soulmates on this journey. If we think of this journey as ships in the ocean and we're just mates to each other, that would be one level of soulmate. I think that what a lot of people speak of as soulmates, in my understanding, would be like soul family, that those souls that we have traveled with so closely over our lifetimes, and there's a sense of recognition, a sense of knowing each other, and a deep, intense connection at a very quick meeting. It sort of happens instantaneously. And I say to people that you will, with a soulmate at that level, you will not have a non-reaction. You may have a feeling of wanting to run from that person. You might have an aversion to that person, or you might have a deep sense of love and joy at finding that person, but you would not have a non-reaction, a neutral reaction. Because if you're coming across the soulmate, and you're working out things from the past, or your lessons are in front of you, you know, sometimes that feeling is not always pleasant. Sometimes the lessons are harder. Sometimes the memories that your soul has in recognition of that person is hard. And sometimes it's beautiful, and you feel like you've known that person forever, and it's only been a week or a day. Wow. So that would vary depending on the depth of the connection.
Okay. Now, we've been chatting away here, and I've been keeping an eye on the time, and we're coming into the last 3 minutes of the program. So would you like to tell our listeners what your website address is so that they can visit your web?
Sure, and thank you so much for having me tonight. My website is SheilaApplegate.com, and again, there's podcasts with meditations and channelings, and there is also blogs with writing that is there for you to explore. So I encourage everyone to come explore. I do also have a CD that is being released actually this week, and that will be up there. That is a 30-minute guided meditation with music by Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah in the background. And also stay tuned, because my book is at the editor, so it will be out soon.
Oh, that's wonderful. Are you proposing to sort of write a book about all your knowledge and experiences?
Yes, the book that is now being edited is actually a combination of channels from Magdalene and Isis and my own teaching, my own experience about love, learning to love unconditionally, starting with ourselves and expanding that out into our partnerships.
Oh, that's great.
So that is the book that's almost completed. It's taken me like 7 years to write it, but I think I had to learn along the way.
Right.
I will be back in Glastonbury in May, so keep an eye out for all your UK listeners.
So there will be one out by then.
I will be live in Glastonbury in May.
Right. Now, a final quick message for our listeners before I announce next week's guest.
I just want to leave everyone with the knowledge that all your answers are inside of you, that it is divine love that is flowing to you, that God has never left you, that the Creator is within you, and that you are the perfect reflection of divine love on earth.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a very nice way to close the program as far as you're concerned. I must thank you immensely for coming on to it. It's been a very interesting chat with you, and I wish you every success in reaching the 10,000 mark.
Thank you. We'll keep you informed. Or we'll have Magdalene inform everyone. Go listen, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. Goodbye.
Right,
my friends, that was another very interesting interview there. My guest next week will be Sherry Courtland, who has written a book from, it's been channeled, or I say channeled, through automatic writing from the Guide Group, and it's called Windows of Opportunity. It covers various aspects of spiritual knowledge, not too heavy, and we're going to discuss that book, so I hope you can join me. Thank you for being with me today. God bless you all. Thank you.